From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Today on the program, we're talking to Nick Nichols, who is an author. He's already an author, but he is the author of the upcoming book, which we'll learn more about, which is called Pollinator Parade. And it's geared at educating children all about the importance of pollinators. And before we get into that, let me first welcome Nick. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers today.
Well, thanks, Ezra. I really appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you.
For sure. So there's a book coming out called Pollinator Parade. Tell me, before we get into the why and wherefore about the book and how it came to be about, let's just get right to that message. Why is it so important to focus on educating children about pollinators and their role in our society?
Well, most kids understand what a pollinator is. And when you ask them about what pollinators do and who they are, first thing they're going to reel off is bees and butterflies. We want to expand that knowledge base for the kids and let them know that there's more to pollinators than just bees and butterflies. I mean, there's lizards, there's bats, there's hummingbirds, there's beetles and ants and all kinds of wasps and flies. Did you know there's over 3,600 types of bees in North America? It's like crazy the amount of pollinators that are out there. And this is part of what we want to explain to kids, is that there's a plethora, so to speak, of pollinators out there, and that it's more than just these couple of little critters. And so the book goes on to educate them about the number of pollinators, but also encourages them to get involved in trying to create habitat so that we can have more pollinators, because 75 to 80% of all of our food is provided to us through pollination. So it's important that we keep these pollinators healthy and thriving so that we have things to eat.
Nick, tell me about your background in this subject matter. What made you interested in this? I know you have done some civic work in the area of sustainability, but I don't know whether you're a biologist or not, or whether you have experience writing or not. I know you do have some of that. Talk about what made you interested in this subject matter.
Well, this will be my third children's picture book. The first one was I'm Hungry, I'm Hungry, I'm Hungry Too, which talked about food and kids being hungry and how they can get involved and try and end hunger or help with hunger issues. And the things we talked about in that book was also about healthy food. My next book was Worm McWorm and the Decomposers, and that talked about healthy soil. We need healthy soil in order to grow the plants that we want to grow for food. And so this is kind of just the next progression in that series, where now we're talking about pollinators and how important it is for them to thrive, to be able to pollinate the plants that provide us our food. So they actually kind of all tie together. And so I think it's just a natural progression that we've gotten to this point.
You, as I mentioned before, you've worked on a civic level on this. You used to be the sustainability coordinator in La Crosse. You've worked in La Crescent as well, and have done some other things. But what made it click in your mind that that children are the audience for this material, and it's important to start young and teach them about this rather than trying to gear some kind of like seminar or initiative or something at grown folk?
Well, I came to understand a long time ago that children are not only our future, but they're also great educators. You may not think that, but by conveying a message to kids and getting them motivated and passionate about a message, they can take that message home and they can change their families. Dynamic. Just to give you an example, I was the recycling coordinator for Houston County for quite a few years. And I did a program at a local school, and I talked to kids about what kind of plastics they could recycle. You know, it's got that little diamond shape on the bottom, the chasing arrows. And it was numbers 1 and 2 that we could recycle. And so I just pounded this into their little brains. And about several days later, I ran into this woman walking down the street. She goes, "Are you Nick Nichols?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I hate you." And I said, "What did I do?" I cannot buy a plastic container unless it has a number one or a number two on it. And
Message
so
received, right?
the kids took that message home, and they helped change that message at home with their parents. And so it's not just us older adults who think we know everything. It's the kids who can learn things like this and can make a difference in the world. And once you convey that message, they will carry that message throughout their life.
The book that we're talking about is called Pollinator Parade. It takes time to get a book out like this, and you're shooting for an Earth Day release, roughly, which means a few more months to wait until we can see the actual book. But talk about the different people that you've worked with to make this happen, to bring this from the idea in your mind stage to the point that you are getting ready to publish this book.
Well, I work with my good friend Vicki Miller, who runs a nonprofit called Strive to Thrive, and she has a seedling program. She helped fund the very beginning of this concept. When I took this idea to her, she was very passionate about it. She has a huge pollinator garden. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so we kind of developed this initial concept, and then we approached the nature place. Steph Hanna is the person, the educational person there, and we met with her, and she just fell in love with the idea. And
The
so
nature
between us,
place, we should say, is not necessarily a name that everybody is familiar with yet because it's pretty new, but it's the organization that exists in Myrick Park. So at the bottom of Myrick Park, right before you get to the marsh, is this wonderful facility that's now called the Nature Place.
Wiscor has kind of transformed itself into the nature place, and they've got a partnership, a wonderful partnership with the city of La Crosse, and they're providing all this educational information from there and examples of working with nature. They bring in all kinds of tours and stuff with children. This is the exact audience that we want to approach. And so this partnership with the Nature Place was a natural fit. It just made so much sense. And then, of course, what we're hoping to do is get a bunch of these books printed and donated to children throughout the region. But we'll also have books available for sale, to folks outside the region. And any funds that are raised will go to benefit the Nature Place and Rotary's Operation Pollination.
Operation Pollination. So speaking of Operation Pollination, are you a gardener? Do you have a pollinator garden?
I used
You
to. My
used
wife
to.
and I, we sold our 6.5 acre hobby farm,
Okay.
and I used to have 10 raised garden beds and milkweed all over my septic system, and a lot of natural areas for insects to thrive in. And now I've got a townhouse, and so I don't have a lot of the property that I used to have,
Not so much
but
room for gardening.
well, not so much for a garden, but I'm going to put in a pollinator garden out along the boulevard this next spring. So
Okay.
I want to show the neighbors that, even a little plot like what I can put together, around my mailbox is going to help. So
So what some
everybody's doing
ideas
something.
are some ideas are transforming a little bit, but a pollinator garden. If you're used to your, typical La Crosse neighborhood manicured lawn kind of look, it can look a little bit unkempt to people who don't necessarily know what they're looking at. And so how do you get people over that mental hurdle of I'm going to put in a pollinator garden because it's good for the environment and it's fun to look at, but it kind of, I mean, depending on the time of year, it kind of looks like a disaster. Or
Well,
at least
and
mine would look like a disaster.
like most of mine, I agree. No, City of La Crosse has actually got this program going called No Mow May, and there's a big educational push that goes with that to try and help pollinators get started in the early spring. And so a pollinator garden is just an extension of that. And so you're planting specific plants, that attract pollinators, and there's different plants that open up at different parts of the spring and summer and fall. And so you're trying to provide sustenance to those pollinators throughout the course of the entire growing season. So that's kind of what a pollinator garden does. So hopefully it won't look, like it's just an unkempt lawn. It'll actually look like a bunch of flowers that are constantly blooming. So
So tell me about what if somebody's listening to this and thinking, oh, that sounds like a good idea, but I don't know what to plant. Like what are good pollinator attractive plants that grow in our part of Wisconsin?
well, the first thing you want to look at is like natives. Anything that you can grow that belongs to this area, it's easier to plant. And let me tell you, I like perennials. I hate plant annuals. If I can plant something that I don't have to worry about every year,
Something that's
you
just going to
know,
keep coming back.
just I used to plant a lot of milkweed, like I've mentioned, over my septic system. When I started out, I just had a few plants, but by the time we sold the farm, there were hundreds of milkweed plants on my septic system. Then I didn't have to mow it, I didn't have to take care of it, and it benefited all the pollinators that came around. And it was just a wonder to walk out there and to listen to the cacophony of pollinators that were going back and forth between all the flowers. It was wonderful to experience.
So milkweed is one. Are there other
Oh,
favorites?
absolutely. Oh, like bee balm, things like that. I am not the professional when it comes to these kinds of plants, but that's another thing we're going to do in the book is we're going to have a large variety of plants that kids can plant that attract pollinators. And one of the things we're going to show in the book is like a two-page spread of a garden. And all these plants are going to be in it. And then we're going to identify the plants somewhere in the book in one of the reference areas so that kids know what to look for.
The book upcoming is called Pollinator Parade, and we're talking with its author, Nick Nichols. But a book for kids has to have more than white page, black letters. So tell me about the art that's going into this book. Who's the illustrator?
We've got a wonderful local artist. His name is Pete Hodapp. He's from the Viroqua area. He's done some wonderful work. He actually won what's called the Isotope Award for Excellence in Mini Comics. Mini Comics is just a term for comics that were produced and published by the artist rather than a traditional publisher, you know, self-published kind of thing. So he's done a couple of samples of work already, and let me tell you, this is going to be pretty. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be so well illustrated, and it's going to have a really good message, a message of hope, and the fact that you can do something to help. You know, I really don't like putting out there a negative message about things. Nobody wants to hear that. What they want to hear about is what can I do? You know, how can I help? You know, that kind of stuff. And this is what we're trying to do is reel those kids in and help us help the pollinators.
Now you are you have some professional experience in the sustainability area more broadly, but you, as you said, are not like the horticultural expert on these kinds of things. Where do you turn for that kind of expertise? You're an experienced writer. You know how to put a children's book together. This is your third one. But where do you turn when you need some upper level expertise on those things like horticulture?
Oh yeah, you find the experts. This is why we're with the Nature Place. I mean, they're a lot more expert on this type of thing than I am. We've also got three UWL students who are helping us out. We've got some educators. We've got a couple of PhDs, one at UWL, one of Viterbo that's helping us with this information because we want to be as accurate as possible. We don't want to just pull things out of the air and say, hey, do this, because you know, you want to make sure you're giving the right information. And let me tell you, I've learned a few things going through this because I'll write something based on what I think I know. And then I've got these experts going, you can't put that in there. That's not
And you're like, but I saw it on the internet.
right. Exactly. So you can't have a huge ego when you're doing these kinds of things. You have to rely on other people's expertise and take that bit of knowledge that helps you put together something that's educational and truthful and factual and something that can actually help. So
How is this compared to the process of writing either of your other two children's books or the novel that you wrote?
This is a lot more complex.
Okay.
When you're doing something on your own, it's a lot easier to just put it together, you know, because you have a vision of how it's going to look and how it's going to work. Now, I had to work with an illustrator doing the other two books, but basically, I was in control of everything with both of those. I got some expertise from some other individuals, but I controlled the entire thing. This is a bigger collaboration, and so it's also containing more information. So I need those other people to help me put together something that is good. And so this is a little more work. So trying to coordinate other people and their schedules, and most of these people are volunteers and they're trying to help out and stuff. And so it takes a little bit of a finesse with other personalities and trying to make something work.
Well, you told me that you're looking at a spring release surrounding Earth Day, so looking at probably April. Is there a way that people can keep track of the progress or keep up with how things are going, or if they want to just wait till April and look it up, where are they going to find the new book?
Well, that's a good thought. I haven't thought about, is there a way for other people to kind of keep track? And maybe we can do something like that through the Nature Place. They're going to put up some information on the Czech presentation today from my good friend, my best friend now,
Okay.
Rajnek. they're going to put something up there, but it would be nice if we could put up some of the illustrations that are coming up.
Oh, that'd be
Maybe
fun.
we can do something like that. So
Yeah.
I'll bring that up with our team.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. Nick
Yeah, thanks,
Nichols.
Ezra.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's what I do. No, Nick Nichols is the author of the forthcoming book, Pollinator Parade, and he's been kind enough to join us today on Newsmakers. Nick, thanks a lot.
Anytime, Ezra. I really appreciate you having us on, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again in the spring when we've got it ready to go.
Looking forward to it. I'll pencil it in now.
Sounds good.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you jumped in the middle of our conversation, or if you want to hear something else that we've done on a previous episode, you can find it all on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. Our program continues just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio.